Planes powered by GE Aerospace Technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. As a new independently traded company on the New York Stock Exchange, our purpose remains: invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.
President Biden's multi-trillion dollar healthcare and anti-poverty spending plan advances. Plus, we'll check in on the progress of another of Biden's campaign promises, and how the rising cost of natural gas is being felt worldwide.
For consumers, we are seeing higher energy bills driving inflation, but to what extent this will be shorter term or longer term is still pretty unclear.
It's Wednesday, July 14th. I'm Keith Collins, filling in for Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. Senate Democrats agreed to a roughly $3.5 trillion budget for President Biden's health care and anti-poverty plans Tuesday night. The agreement is part of efforts by Democrats to advance the bill through the 50-50 Senate without GOP support. President Biden is expected to meet with Senate Democrats today to discuss the plan. President Biden on Tuesday blasted GOP-backed changes to state voting laws.
They want to make it so hard and inconvenient that they hope people don't vote at all. That's what this is about. The 21st century Jim Crow assault is real. It's unrelenting. And we're going to challenge it vigorously.
The Republican-held Texas Senate advanced a bill imposing stricter voting rules Tuesday. The president also called on Congress to move forward with the Democrats' federal voting legislation. Republicans have opposed the sweeping Democratic voting bill, saying states, not the federal government, should decide how elections should be run. We're exclusively reporting that chipmaker Broadcom is no longer in talks to buy software company SAS Institute. The founders of SAS changed their minds about a sale to Broadcom after the Journal earlier this week had reported the companies were discussing a possible deal that would value SAS in the range of $15 billion to $20 billion, including any debt. New COVID-19 case counts in the U.S. have doubled in recent weeks as the more contagious Delta variant spreads across the country. Public health officials say COVID-19 transmission is increasing among younger, unvaccinated individuals. The U.S. is averaging more than 23,000 new cases a day versus a 7-day average of around 11,300 3 weeks ago. That's according to a WSJ analysis of Johns Hopkins University data. More big U.S. banks are set to release quarterly earnings this morning. Citigroup, Bank of America, and Wells Fargo are on deck to report results, along with BlackRock and Delta Airlines. Later today, Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell begins 2 days of testimony before Congress about the U.S. economy. Lawmakers are likely to ask Powell about the Fed's thinking on employment, inflation, and monetary policy. Global prices of natural gas have been hitting record highs this summer. Rising demand for the fuel and the electricity it can generate has left some corners of the market short on supply. Joining us now is WSJ Markets reporter Anna Hertenstein in London. Hi, Anna.
Morning.
So, Anna, what's behind the scarcity in natural gas markets?
So we are seeing pockets of higher demand at the same time as supply has been pretty constrained. On the demand side, there's higher demand from China. There's a drought in Brazil, which has added to this, because they've had to curtail power output from hydro, so they've been using more gas to compensate. And at the same time, we're also seeing higher temperatures in places like Canada and in the U.S. and the Pacific Northwest, which has also lifted gas demand. On the supply side, we're seeing essentially flatter output from, particularly from U.S. companies. Frackers used to be seen as the swing producer, so when prices were higher, they would pump more, and when prices were lower, they would pump less. But in recent months, they've been focusing more on reducing debt rather than investing in new supply.
And what kind of impact could rising natural gas prices have on businesses and consumers?
So for consumers, we are seeing higher energy bills driving inflation. But to what extent this will be shorter term or longer term is still pretty unclear. For businesses, we are seeing profits begin to get squeezed in industries that are more energy intensive, such as chemicals. Although some companies do lock in prices for their energy into the future, so you might see these effects coming into play only next year.
Anna Hertenstein in London, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much.
Coming up, a progress report on President Biden's campaign promises to strengthen government transparency after the break.
Planes powered by GE Aerospace technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. By empowering the brightest minds, GE Aerospace is reimagining engine design and advanced aircraft systems, developing hybrid electric engines and technologies compatible with alternative fuels like sustainable aviation fuel. GE Aerospace strives every day to invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.
During his presidential campaign, Joe Biden pledged to overhaul the nation's ethics and campaign finance laws, promising to usher in a new era of government transparency. But as the Biden presidency hits the six-month mark next week, he has yet to deliver on many of his pledges. Here to discuss the reasons for the lack of progress is our White House reporter, Andrew Rastusha. He spoke with our Charlie Turner.
Andrew, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All candidates make pledges to hold their administrations to the highest ethical standards. What was different about Biden's pledges?
Well, I think coming out of the Trump administration, ethics watchdog groups really felt like there was a moment in time in which the Biden presidency, Mr. Biden himself, could really put in place transformative new ethics rules. And they were really hoping that we would see the kinds of changes that we saw after the Nixon administration in the aftermath of Watergate. The president, during the campaign way back in 2019, laid out what transparency advocates considered to be a really strong set of proposals on both ethics and campaign finance. And so there was a lot of hope that the president would be able to follow through on those promises.
What are some of the promises that he's made that have yet to be acted on?
So most of them haven't been acted upon yet for various reasons, which we can get into. And some of the promises that he made are included in a voting and campaign finance legislation that is so far stalled in Congress. Those include establishing voluntary matching funds for federal candidates, requiring more disclosure about funding of political advertising. There are also some separate measures that he proposed during the campaign that aren't in that legislation and that he also hasn't proposed formally yet, including establishing a new federal ethics commission and putting in place, or at least pushing for, a constitutional amendment that would require that all federal candidates rely on public money instead of fundraising money to fund their campaigns.
So for the proposals that have to go through Congress, what's been holding things up?
So there is this massive piece of legislation that Democrats have been pushing that includes quite a bit on voting, but it also includes some of these campaign finance and ethics changes. So far, Republicans have been pretty universally opposed to the legislation. And at the same time, a handful of moderate Democrats have been reluctant to change the filibuster rules to allow for the bill to pass just with Democratic votes. So they're at this point pretty much at a stalemate unless something changes.
What do administration officials say in response? What, in fact, have they done?
In their defense, they would point to an executive order that the president signed when he came into office that lays out an ethics pledge for every appointee of the Biden administration that, you know, puts some new limitations on the degree to which they can lobby, or in this case can't lobby after they leave the administration. It puts any number of restrictions to prevent any sort of perception or sort of in real life conflict of interest. So transparency advocates have applauded this effort, and they've said that it's stronger than past presidents. He's put in place some new provisions here. They also say that they're working and they haven't given up on this legislation that they hope to pass through Congress, and that they're taking meetings on the Hill and really trying to move lawmakers to move this bill through Congress as soon as possible.
Andrew, we're approaching the six-month anniversary of the Biden presidency. Is that enough time to make a fair assessment of his progress on ethics?
I mean, to be sure, it's still early. 6 months is not that far. He has, you know, 3.5 years left in his first term. So there's still plenty of time to move forward on several of these measures. However, you know, I think that the outside transparency groups are worried that this sort of momentum that had built after the Trump administration to take action on some of these things, that the window could be closing and there may be a little bit less appetite for this sort of thing going forward. So they really want him to move as quickly as possible.
Well, how would ethics watchdogs grade the Biden administration's performance thus far?
I mean, they praise the president for example, releasing White House visitor logs that track, you know, who's coming and going from the White House. The former president, President Trump, had stopped doing that. They praised him for this executive order that lays out restrictions and conflict of interest rules for every appointee in the administration. But they say that he hasn't been able to follow through on the lengthy list of promises he made during the campaign. Some of that is out of his control because it's up to Congress, and other things he just hasn't proposed yet. So I think that they're pushing the administration to do more.
And finally, Andrew, aside from his policies, what criticism has Biden himself received with regard to ethics?
So there are a couple things. There have been several hires of relatives of senior administration officials, including the White House counselor, Steve Ricchetti, is three adult children who are working in the administration. So there's been quite a bit of criticism about that. Of course, you know, Biden himself has not hired any of his own relatives or children to work in the administration as the former president, Donald Trump, did. So there's certainly a difference there. And then at the same time, his adult son, Hunter Biden, you know, is an artist, and he is selling his artwork. And there's been some concern that just Hunter Biden being related to his father, the president, that could inflate the price of his art. So the White House has put in place a system in which an outside art dealer, gallerist, is going to determine anonymously, you know, without any coordination with Hunter Biden or the White House, determine the fair value of this art. So there isn't any sort of perception of a conflict of interest there.
Wall Street Journal White House reporter Andrew Rastusia, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, when inflation hits, prices rise. And for stores like Dollar Tree, famous for selling most of its products, from flip-flops to a small bottle of detergent for a dollar, that can be a problem. The Journal's Sarah Nassauer has more.
Time will tell, but there's some investors that think it's going to be really hard for them. For example, there's, you know, at least one analyst that has downgraded them in recent weeks because of this, because this analyst who I talked to for the story pointed out that this inflationary period is a little bit different than Dollar Tree has had to face over the last 35 years, or it could be. It could be more extended. Wages are going up. The supply chain is still quite snarled due to COVID and other issues. Those things are impacting them, and you know, it's not a quick fix kind of situation. So there is some skepticism among some investors about their ability to do so.
A Dollar Tree spokesman said that wage pressure isn't new to the discount chain, and that they have managed throughout and will continue to do so. And that's What's News for Wednesday. We're back tonight with a new show. Feel free to leave us a rating and review wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Keith Collins, filling in for Mark Stewart for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
Planes powered by GE Aerospace technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. As a new independently traded company on the New York Stock Exchange, our purpose remains: invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.